Good morning. We're going to read about a topic very simple today, just simply titled Relax with an exclamation point. I think too many of us spend too much time being too worried and too concerned about way too much. It's good to think, it's good to be concerned, it's good to do your what they call due diligence, where you know you do your homework and carry out the details of whatever responsibilities you may have. But there's a point where you've done everything you can and you're still worried about everything. And we got to stop. We just got to do the best we can and then let it go. But people will say, well, how do I know that this business deal or this job or this relationship or this thing I'm buying or this whatever is going to work out? Well, the truth is, unless God tells you, you have no idea if it's going to work out. But it doesn't matter because God promises to take care of you. So let's say you get all wrapped up in some new project where you're going to make some money. And you get all wrapped up in it and you get nervous about it and you don't know if it's going to come to pass. So you keep getting more and more nervous and trying harder and harder. Whereas you know that there's only three steps you can do, A, B, and C. And then you got to just wait and see if the deal comes through or not. But you want to keep dreaming up parts D, E, and F, where you just keep working and working and working, but it's counterproductive. It's the law of diminishing returns kicking in. You're actually shooting yourself in the foot by getting so wrapped up in it. Well, all we ought to do is do the A, B, and C. Do the parts you know you can do, and then pray and let it go. And either that project will come to pass, or God will show you something else to do. Same thing with a relationship. You really want to witness to somebody, or you really want to have a friend, or go on a date, or anything with having to do with a person, or getting along with a coworker. You can only do so much, and then you just have to let it go. And if it doesn't work out with that person, there's a few other billion people in the world. God will find another person for you to work out whatever it is you need to work out with. God's very good like that. So, in everything in life, we just have got to do what the Word says and then relax and just quit worrying about it, because continuing to fret about it is going to be counterproductive. It'll wear you out, it'll distract you from trusting God, and it'll just make your life miserable. So I encourage you to be very diligent in whatever you do, but then once you've done that, stop. Relax. You've done what you could. I mean, everybody has their way of handling it. I remember being in college and, you know, getting to be 10 or 11 at night, and I had a big exam in the morning. And I thought, now I could stay up all night studying, or I could just get a good night's sleep and get in there fresh and relaxed in the morning. And that's what I always did. I always found I was much better just study. You know, I pick a time, 10, 11, 12 at night, and I would study until I was done. Then I would just let it go, and I would pray and go to bed. And I'd show up all relaxed and rested. And because I was relaxed and rested, so much of what I'd studied came back to me easily. Whereas if I'd stayed up all night, like some of my classmates, and been fried, I probably would have studied more but done worse. And that's just one example from my life. We all have examples like that where we have examples where we've stopped and relaxed, and we have examples where we've gone way, way too far, and it's actually been counterproductive. Salesmen even know this. You sell a product or a service, but then once you got the buy-in from the customer, you shut up. Because if you keep talking, they'll start to get nervous and wonder, what is this guy talking about? Why is he trying so hard to sell it? Is it a bad product? He's trying to convince himself that it's a good one? And again, these are just some simple examples. The broader thing in life is you just trust God, and you don't worry about it beyond that. We many times like to read that great example of Paul when he's up in what we now call Turkey or Asia Minor. You know, he wanted to go to Phrygia, he wanted to go to Troas, he wanted to go to Bithynia, and God said, don't go there. But finally, he got the vision of the man in Macedonia. And they went up there to Philippi in Macedonia, in northern Greece. And there were all kinds of people that wanted to hear the word of God. But if he continued to sweat it and worry when God said, don't go to Bithynia, it would have been terrible. Instead, he just let it go. And we have to be willing to diligently work on what we need to work on and then pray. And then either the doors open and we walk right through, or the doors slam shut and God opens another one. But we don't fret about the door that shut. That door has shut. We let it go. And we look forward to the door that God will open. I think a lot of the great misery in life comes from people fretting over doors that have shut, and they just can't get over it. I sometimes talk to people who are still mad about something that happened a long time ago, and I basically say something along the lines of, you need a reality check. Because the reality is, that door closed a long time ago. And unless God tells you to pursue that, or the door radically blows open in your face, it's closed. It's over. Whether it's a job, whether it's moving somewhere, whether it's getting a deal on something you wanted to buy, whether it's a relationship with a person or a company or an organization, if it's closed, it's closed. And we can move on, and God will provide something else greater and more appropriate for us. So relaxing is a great key in life. Just think about maybe your three big, maybe this would be a good little homework assignment for you after we're done. Get a piece of paper or a sheet on your computer if you'd prefer, and write down your three biggest challenges in life. Maybe one's a job, one's a health issue, and one's a relationship with a person. Doesn't matter. Maybe they're all three related to a job. Maybe they're all three related to finances. Doesn't matter. Whatever your three biggest challenges are, write them down. And then write under each one three things you can do about it. Because in most cases, there's about three. Might be two, might be five. But pick a small number of things you can actually get done. You can make a difference. Write them down. So now you got three of your biggest challenges in life. And you got somewhere around three positive steps you can make in those. So that's your first part of the assignment. Make the list. Your next part of the assignment is take the most urgent one. Do those three things. Then you know what the next step is? Relax. Stop. Pray. Go about your life. Take a walk. Make a cup of coffee. Read a book. Whatever it is that you find relaxing, go do that. And then, when that settled down and your emotions have sort of worn, you know, quit bubbling so much, go to point number two. And again, do the three or so things and then relax. And so on. And just, it's just sort of a simple way to discipline yourself to clarify what your challenges are, clarify the steps you can take them, and then stop. Just relax. Quit fretting about it. Pray that God will either open that door and make that situation work, or if that situation is hopeless, and the main reason to be hopeless is because there are other people who chose to make it hopeless, because God does not control people's freedom of will. So you may have the great intention to make it work, but if other people around it are trying to make it not work, God's not going to possess them and control them and make them. You may just have to let that situation go. Because those people don't want to help it work. But God knows other people who do want to help you, who do want to cooperate with you, and God can open the door for that to work. So make your list, do your three steps for each of your three challenges, then let them go, and pray that God will either find a way to open the doors for those three things to prosper and succeed, or he'll show you what to do instead. Like when Paul didn't get to go to Bithynia, he got to go to Macedonia. And in the same way, God will open doors for you. So, although the theme of our teaching today is relax, it's first get your work done. You know, like you may have a job where you work till 5 o'clock. Well, you work very hard till 5 o'clock. But at 5 o'clock, clock out, turn off the computer, leave the office, hang up the car keys if you're driving, whatever it is, stop. You've done your job. Now relax and pray that God will prosper your efforts and let it go. We know how to do that when it comes to clocking out from a job. Now you have to clock your brain out for situations in life where you've done your due diligence, you've gone through the steps you can do, and now you just have to let it go. And if you can do that, you can have a relaxed, peaceful life with more success. Because instead of trying to hang on to situations in life that aren't working, for those that aren't going to work, you've let them go and prayed that God will open other situations for you. And we all have this. We've all had, in every area of life, I'd have had stuff that's worked for decades and still works. I've had stuff that worked for a week and then it didn't work. I've had stuff that worked for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and then it didn't work. And you have to be willing to let it go and move on. Like I say, when somebody comes to me with a problem and they hate their job, which is a lot of people, I tell them to do two things. Do everything they can to make their current job work, but then keep their eyes open for other opportunities. And if another opportunity comes along that's better, not just a little more money, but maybe a better commute, maybe better coworkers, maybe a more cooperative boss, maybe more growth potential, then make the switch. But until that day it comes, keep...
It's arrived.
Good. Hello. Welcome. Until that day comes, do all you can to make your current situation work.
Hey, this is Mom.
Hi, Mom. Well, your timing's perfect. I just finished the introduction. We're ready to get into the scriptures. So let's go to Psalm 37.
Okay.
We're talking about relaxing and resting in the Lord. So Psalm 37, verse 7. Here we go. Psalm 37. We're talking about today about simply relaxing, resting in the Lord, not getting anxious for things, doing the best we can, then trusting God and letting it go. Wonderful stuff. So here we are in Psalm 37 and verse 7. Rest in the Lord, or be still, or be silent before the Lord. Just quit trying to tell God what to do. Just you've prayed, you've asked him for what you need, now you're going to wait and see which doors he opens. Rest in the Lord, be still or be silent before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. And we always wait with expectation. We're expecting something to work. It's like you go to a restaurant, you order some food, sure you have to wait for it to come, but you're waiting with an expectation. It's not like you're sitting there, I don't know if they're going to bring me dinner or not. You know dinner's coming. You've ordered it. It'll get there. So we wait patiently for the Lord. We wait with great expectation that he'll come through mightily. And if he doesn't take care of us one way, he'll take care of us another way. If he doesn't do, specifically what you were asking for, he may have a better way that he shows you that's even greater. So we rest in the Lord. We be still, silent. Just relax. Let him do his thing. Wait patiently for him. You do that at a restaurant. You order your food. You can't get all nervous about whether the cook is going to cook the food just right or if the waiter will spill it on the way there. You just got to relax and wait till your plate of food shows up. Well, we need to do the same thing with the Lord. We pray. We pour out our heart before the Lord. And then we just patiently wait. Be still and silent before the Lord. Rest in the Lord and relax and wait patiently for him. Psalm 40. Here we go. Psalm 40. And verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. See? I waited with expectation, patiently and expectantly for the Lord. And he what? Heard my cry. See, God does listen. Remember those verses we read sometime that if you seek the Lord, you'll find him? Absolutely. If you seek the Lord, you'll find him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. I waited with expectation, patiently and expectantly, and he heard me. That is tremendous. Tremendous advice. Tremendous example of trusting God and God coming through. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And in verse 8. Ecclesiastes 7, 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And spirit here can be translated as disposition or attitude. In other words, patience is better than pride. It's better to be patient and trust God than to have too much pride and think you know everything and you could do everything. Because we can all do a lot. But you know, statements like pride cometh before a fall, it's easy to get too proud. In ancient literature, the classic flaw in all the Greek tragedies is a word called hubris, which is a fancy word for pride. The antagonist in the tragedy would get too proud, too self-confident, and fail. I mean, it's good to be confident so you can move forward and not be tied up with fear. But if you get too confident, think you're smarter than God, think you can do anything, think nobody can beat you, that's when you fail. You have to have an honest sort of view of your skills and abilities, do your best, then pray and trust God, and just relax. And it's, to read that again, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning, and the patient in spirit or disposition is better than the proud in spirit. So it's better to be patient than full of pride. Verse 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Say not, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Did you ever meet people like that, that love to talk about the good old days? Oh, I've heard so many people, you know, say that. You know, I remember 20 years ago saying, they don't make cars like they used to. I thought, no. A car today will go 200,000 miles. Back in those days you liked, you're lucky to get 80,000 miles out of them. Do you, and at that time, this was again 10 or 15 years ago, do you know at that time, as far as like environmental emissions, a car made 15 years ago had less carbon emissions when it was driving down the highway than 20 years before that, a car parked in your driveway. A car parked in your driveway gave off more emissions back then than a car driving. So the point is things improve, but people love to talk about the good old days. And it's so easy to do that. But they tend to romanticize it and only remember the good things about the good old days because the good old days were great, but they also had their challenges. Today is great, but it has its challenges. So instead of talking about how great the good old days are, why not talk about how God can help us going forward? He can help us going forward. What's it say in Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before? We just expect that God will bless us. And we think of little phrases like, that are not in the Bible, but they're very true and indicative of life, things like, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Not as bright as the economy, not as bright as what you have going for you today that you did or didn't have going in the good old days. But the promises of God, that's the upper limit for how high we can go, which is huge. And other phrases like, today is the first day of the rest of your life. It's very true. It's very true. You have the rest of your life to trust God, enjoy life, and rejoice. And if the good old days were great, look back with fond memory of them. But frankly, they have nothing to do with the days going forward. The days going forward, we just trust God and love God, and He will continue to take care of us. It never stops. Like we've talked about David. I mean, up until the day he breathed his last, he was walking with God and making sure that Solomon succeeded him on the throne. So there's nothing to stop you from continuing to walk with God all your days. It's a wonderful life. Okay, let's go to Luke. Luke 8. Here we go. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. This is a parable of the sower. It talks about those on the seed on the good ground. Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground, the seed that fell on the good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with what? Patience. Patience or steadfast perseverance by persevering. You have to persevere, do what you can do, but then relax. You've prayed, you've taken whatever steps you can to make that project succeed, then you just let it go. You put the word in your heart by reading it or meditating on it or thinking about it or listening to it in a teaching. You pray. If there are things, you got to make a phone call or got to send a letter or you have to go do something physical to make it work, you do that. But then you just let it go. You just relax. I've done my job. I'm going to relax. It reminds me of that time with Jehoshaphat. Remember, he was attacked by three different countries, and they were outnumbered 3-1. And they got together, and they prayed, and God put the Spirit of God on that fella. And he said, well, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. Just go down to the battlefield tomorrow and see the salvation or deliverance of the Lord. Just go down and watch. And that's the attitude we have to have. We're going to put the word in our minds. We're going to pray. We're going to do whatever physical steps we need to. And then we're just going to pray and watch God go to work. We're going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See what doors God opens. And then rejoice. Like those other verses, that verse in Psalms we often read, where you start out every morning talking about God's loving kindness. And you come back home at night talking about his faithfulness. And that's what you focus on. You go out the door saying, God loves me. He's going to help me with all these things I have to do. And then when I come home, I'm going to go back through the day and say, yep, God helped me here. God helped me there. I tried this and it worked. And everything just somehow fit into place. And even when I had a challenge, I prayed and God came through for me. And that's just the way we live. It's a great life. Luke 21, verse 5. Luke 21, verse 5. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, verse 6 of Luke 21. As for these things which you behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, verse 8, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not, therefore, after them. Verse 9, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by, it's not immediately. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these they shall lay their hands on you, and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my sakes. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. There's some situations in life where you can sort of rehearse what you're going to say, but there's so many in life where you don't know what's going to happen, so don't worry about it. Because look what God says, verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed, verse 16, both by parents and brethren, kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. Now look at this. And of course, this is talking about the end times in the future. We will have already been gathered together, so we won't actually go through this, but there will be these times of tribulation here on earth. But look what it says. Even in that time of tremendous persecution, when everything's going to be going wrong, after we're gathered together, look what it says. In your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, in your relaxing and trusting God, you'll be able to keep yourself together. I've been in so many situations where everybody else is running around like a chicken with their head cut off, and I just sort of calmly look around and pray, and I realize there's one or two things I can do, and then I do those one or two things, and then I just pray and let it go. Because there's so many situations in life. There's so many situations in life that you're not going to control, so don't let them get to you. In your patience, possess ye your souls. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And verse 2. Well, let's go back to verse 1. One of my favorite verses. Therefore, being justified or made righteous by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have it. People will try to tell you, you did this, or you said that, or you didn't bow down and kiss the ring of some important person you're supposed to, so God hates you. Well, they may say that, but the scriptures say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of what we did, but because we're made righteous by believing in Jesus Christ. He paid for it. There's nothing I can do to goof that up. I am righteous. I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may not like me. Somebody else may not like me. But the scriptures say, I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I like that. I like that. And we all do. Verse 2. By whom? By Christ also we have access, by faith, by believing, into this grace, this divine favor wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We stand in the grace of God, and we have access to that by simply believing in what Jesus Christ did, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God will be revealed in the next administration, after we're gathered together, and we rejoice in that hope. We're looking forward to it. It's sort of like watching a movie where you know the good guy's going to finally win in the end. If he gets beat up a little bit, you go, okay, he's a good guy. He's going to win anyway. Well, it's like that in our lives. Some things we do really well at, other stuff we tend to mess up because we're human. But at the end of the day, the Lord returns, and we rejoice in that hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, persecutions, mental pressures. Knowing that tribulation works or produces patience. If you go through enough tough times, it just produces patience. I was talking to somebody about that the other day who had some job where it took them like all day to get one little project done. I said, oh yeah, I've had that happen. First time it takes all day. Next time it takes half a day. After about a year, you'll do it in 10 minutes. Because you'll have figured out of those 100 details, there's only two of them that really matter, and you'll do it in 10 minutes. That's just the way life and work is. You grow. Well, in the same way, when you have all this tribulation, all of these persecutions and mental pressures, if you stay with it and continue to trust God, it develops great patience. Because you've seen God took care of me last year when this happened. He took care of me last month when this happened. He took care of me last week when this happened. So the next time it happens, I'm very patient because I know God will come through for me. So verse 3, not only so, we glory, we brag, we exult in tribulations, mental pressures, knowing that mental pressure produces patience. And patience produces experience. And experience produces hope, which maketh not ashamed. So this patience, this relaxing, this resting in the Lord, that produces great hope. great positive expectation, because hope is a positive expectation. You're just looking forward to great stuff happening. That's why the hope of Christ's return is so great. Rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. So look at that again in verse 4. Patience produces experience, and experience produces hope. So we want to hang in there when we have mental pressure, because if we stay with it and keep praying and trusting God, it will just develop great patience, the great ability to relax and trust God, which is what we want. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12. Here in Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Look what it says, patient in tribulation or mental pressure. Continuing instant in prayer. So we continue steadfast or faithful and persevere in prayer. But in mental pressure, we're just patient. We just rest in God and we relax. Okay, I got some mental pressure. So what? I'm going to do my little due diligence because there's two or three things I can do. I can make a phone call. I can do this little project. I can walk over and talk to somebody. There's some things I can do. I'm going to do all those. But then I'm just going to relax and rest and trust God and go about my business because I can't do anything else about it. So that is so cool. Let's look at that again. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation or mental pressure or persecution. And continuing steadfast, faithful, persevering in prayer. Verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. What a great thing. Somebody curses you, you bless them. Somebody gives you a hard time, you pray for them. We don't go down to the level of people that want to get negative and destructive. If they want to be destructive, they can go right ahead. We're going to be constructive by loving them and praying for them. And God will bless us. God will bless us for that. I mean, look at Jesus Christ with Peter and Thomas and Judas. There's no indication that he cussed them out or anything like that. He first of all tolerated them, and perhaps he prayed for them. I don't know the exact details, but it's what it says we should do. Bless them with persecute you, bless and curse not. Great stuff. Okay, let's go over the next chapter to Romans 15. Romans 15. We can be patient. We can just relax, knowing God will take care of us. Okay, Romans 15, in verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities, the difficulties of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, to build him up. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Or through patient endurance and the encouragement from the Scriptures might have hope. So again, there's that patience and endurance. You just have got to relax. You've done what you can. You've got to relax and be patient. There's nothing else you can do. I don't know about you, if you've ever been stuck in an airport when all the flights are getting canceled and there's thunderstorms coming in. There's so much you can do. You can go talk to the customer service people. You can try to book a seat on a different airplane. But at the end of the day, once you've done your due diligence, relax. Go get a cup of coffee. Read a book. Wander around the airport and look at the souvenir shops. Do whatever. But the point is, you're not going to do anything more. You talk to the people you can talk to. And if you know a trick, it is you're on the airline a lot, you know the special 800 number, you may be able to do that. But you just do whatever you can do. And then when you've done what you can do, relax. Sooner or later, there will be an airplane and you will get home. It might be sooner, it might be later. People that travel a lot have seen plenty of both. seen plenty where they fix it right away, and sometimes you got to sleep overnight in the terminal and get a flight in the morning. Sometimes they send you to a hotel across the street. Anybody that's traveled a lot has seen all these things happen. There's so much you can do, and then you just let it go. And all of life is like that. There are a few things you can do, and then you just pray and relax and patiently wait to see what doors God opens. And don't be upset about it. Let's see. So let's look at that again. Verse 4 of Romans 15. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of what? Patience and consolation. He's a God of patience. He's patient. We got to be patient. We have to relax and just enjoy what God does for us. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in what? Much patience. Greatly relaxing. It takes much patience to walk with God. You simply have to trust God and look to God and know that he'll come through for you. It takes much patience. It takes much relaxing. It takes much waiting on God and expecting him to come through for you. Again, I think of examples like Jeremiah, where during the Babylonian captivity, everybody came to him and said, what do we do? And he said, I'll ask God. And 10 days later, God told him they shouldn't go to Egypt. They should stay in Jerusalem. And there are times where God will tell you immediately what to do. And there are times where God will tell you nothing. And there are times where God will tell you, but you'll have to wait. That's all up to God. But the thing that's consistent through all of these situations is that as you pray and trust God, God will always come through for you. It's just up to him how he does it. Maybe, again, it's sort of like the restaurant analogy. They'll always bring you food, but what they bring you depends on how busy they are, what's on the menu, what's in the kitchen. They may not be busy. They may have a certain kind of fish on the menu you really like, but they're out of it today. So there's a lot of factors, but they'll always bring you a meal. It just may not be quite the one you planned on or when you planned on it, but it might be much better. They might bring you a different kind of fish, and you say, wow, I never had this. I love it. So you don't worry about it. Well, it's like that in life with God. God will always come through for you in wonderful, wonderful ways. And maybe the way you planned at the time you planned. Or it may be not in the way you planned and not at the time you planned. But he will always come through for you. Which is why it says here. Let me get my notes here. Bear with me a minute. My screen turned off. Okay. Here we go. Verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, and yet true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Great encouragement. But the one particularly relevant to our topic today is verse 4, where it says, in much patience, where we simply relax and trust God. We've done what we can. And I'm thinking of two or three things I need to do this week, just like I encouraged you in your homework, to make a list of things you are concerned about, do the two or three things you can do, and then relax and trust God. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the two or three things I can do, and then relax and trust God and just sit back and see the salvation of the Lord. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. And verse 11. 2 Corinthians 12, 11. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me. For I ought not to have been commended of you. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were worked among you in all what? Patience. And signs and wonders and mighty deeds. It takes great patience. We have to be willing to speak the word, pray, and then just wait and see what doors God opens. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Here we are. Colossians 1 and verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto what? All patience and long-suffering. Long-suffering is sort of like patience on steroids, super patience. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Because we have to do whatever steps appropriate for whatever challenge we have in life. Then we have to pray and relax and trust God that He'll come through. But look what this says is, what they're doing is they're praying for them, and then all that cool stuff in the middle, unto, this is the end result of what they're praying for, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So you have to really relax in the Lord and be very, very joyful. Let's say, let's take some silly situation. You're somewhere out in the middle of nowhere, and you send Fred out to get pizza. Well, you know, Fred's a reliable guy. He's very resourceful. He has some money. He has a car. He knows how to go on his smartphone and find the best pizza in town. And you just know Fred's going to come back with really good pizza. He's never let you down before. So you have great confidence that Fred will be back. Now, you may have to wait a while because he may have to drive across town, may have to wait till they cook it, and may have a little traffic. But you know he's going to get there, and it's going to be great pizza. So you have patience, you have long-suffering, because it took half an hour longer than you expected, but you're very joyful, because you're hungry and you're looking forward to a really good pizza. Well, that's a silly, simple analogy of how we look to God every day. We pray, we know God's going to come through, we know He always has, we know He has unlimited resources, we know if He can't work through this person to do it, He'll find somebody else He can, you know, inspire to come help us out. One way or another, He's going to take care of us. So all of this praying for the believers in Colossae was to the end, as we see in verse 11, that we can be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. We relax, and we relax happily. We don't sit around and fidget, saying, I'm trying to relax, but I can't sit still. No. We relax with great joyfulness because we know Fred's showing up with a pizza. Or better than that, we know God's going to come through for us and get us what we need. We may not know how or when, just like we don't know which kind of pizza Fred's going to get from which pizza parlor, and we don't know when he's going to get back, but we'll be there. Well, we know God is going to come through mightily for us. We don't know exactly when or exactly how, but we know He's going to come through. Like somebody once said, God is never late. He may not be real early, but he's never late. He'll be there when you need him to be. So isn't that great? All patience and long-suffering, super patience with joyfulness. Tremendous stuff. We just have to relax. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. And the way the Greek grammar works there is it could be translated your work that proceeded from your faith or believing. Your labor of love. Your labor that proceeded out from the love in your heart. And your patience of hope. Your patience which proceeded from the hope in your heart. Hope, again, is a positive expectation of good things. The biggest hope we have is the return of Christ, the gathering together. But there are many other things that we can have a positive expectation of in life. When there's something specific we're praying for, we pray and believe that God will come through. But in many other areas of life, we just have a great positive expectation that God will come through for us. And what we're reading about here is your patience proceeding from our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God, even our Father. So our patience, our being able to relax, being able to rest in the Lord, proceeds from the great hope, the great positive expectation we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. So just have that positive expectation that God will bless you, that allows you to relax, be patient and rest in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See, again, when working with people, you do the best you can, but then you have to be patient. You just have to relax and trust in the Lord. Because there's only so much you can do to get along with people. Again, whether it's in business, whether it's in fellowship, whether it's your neighbors being mad about the dog barking, whether it's personal relationship you have, a business relationship where they're the customer or they're the boss or they're the coworker. There's only so much you can do in relationships with people. You do the best you can, and then you simply are patient. You simply rest in the Lord and see what's going to happen. And if a deal doesn't work out with one person, God will have somebody else there to take care of you. So here again in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, here we go, just a couple more here to wrap up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, as it's appropriate, because your faith, your believing, groweth exceedingly, and the charity, the love of God of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. You guys are great. You have great believing. You have great love for one another. That's why we're so thankful for you. Verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for what? Your patience. Your ability to just relax and trust God. And faith. Your believing in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. So they're having a tough time in Thessalonica. They have persecutions, they have tribulations, but they also have great patience. They're able to just trust God, rest in the Lord, and relax. Because it also says they have great believing. So they have great believing, great confidence, great trust that God will come through for them, and as a result they can relax. And we have to be able to do that. You just relax, you rest in the Lord, you pray. You keep your ears open, because it could be what you're praying for and working towards is the totally wrong thing. And God will say, quit doing this, go over here and do that other thing instead. Or it could be the door will just shut on the thing you're working on, but another huge door will open up. Well, accept that if that happens. Unless God tells you to stay with the shut door, give it up and go with the one that opened. And don't look back. Just be thankful and move on. Good. 2 Thessalonians 1. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. So that's what they did. They didn't spend all their time, you know, railing and complaining about the wicked and unreasonable men. They just said, pray that God will deliver us from them. And that's what you have to do. If you have a bad day and everybody gives you a hard time, you may need to vent for 5 minutes and talk to a close friend about how mean everybody was, and that's okay. Get it out of your system. But don't spend the next 5 years talking about it. Vent, get it out of your system, and then immediately switch to praying, looking for the deliverance. And God will always come through for you. That we may be delivered from unreasonable wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we commanded you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and the patient waiting for Christ. See, we don't sit around and do nothing, you know, looking to the hope of the return. But as we patiently wait, we relax, knowing the Lord's coming back. It's a lot less to worry about. Picture yourself riding on one of those old nice trains with a private compartment, and you had a nice seat and maybe a little desk table, and you're working along. You know that the train's going to get to your destination in a few hours. It's sort of like your hope, your expectation. You can still sit there and work at your desk and get stuff done and be productive if you want, or maybe take a nap if you're tired, or have a meal if you're hungry. But your hope, your expectation at the end is that you'll get to the right station and the people will be there to meet you, and you'll run off to whatever you're going to do with those people. Go to a meeting or go sightseeing or do whatever you plan to do when you get there. But the patient expectation, the relaxing, knowing you're going to get there is great. I've never been on a train where I sat there and worried, is it really going to get to the station? No. Of course, I haven't had a lot of bad train experiences. Some people have, but I have great simple expectation that if I get on a train, it's going to get me to my station. It may be delayed a few minutes if there's a little traffic on the tracks, but it'll always get me there. And that's the attitude we have to have about the Lord returning. We all have a lot of things to do in life, a lot of responsibilities, a lot of little and big challenges. But at the end of the day, so to speak, at the end of this era, the end of this administration, the Lord will return and will have newly changed bodies. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, and how great that will be. But we have to relax. We just have to know, hey, the Lord's coming back. I don't have to worry about it. I may have a tough bump in the road today I have to get over, but my ultimate destination is the gathering together with a newly changed and restored body that lasts forever, without corrupting. That's great. And one to close here in Hebrews, a very favorite one that we like to look at from time to time, Hebrews 12 in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that's the example of all the believers in the Old Testament administrations, which are in Hebrews 11, so many wonderful believers, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, David, all those guys, wonderful believers who walked with God and trusted God. It says, since we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Just anything holding you back from trusting God, just throw it over. You know, anything that's bugging you, just let it go. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. And I understand that. Many years ago, I was a pretty good distance runner. And I found that if you just relax and enjoy the run, you can go a long way with very little problem. So when you get all upset and nervous and worried, you don't do as well. I actually found races where I went in there just confident I was going to win, I usually won. Races I went in all worried and not sure if I could do well, I usually lost. And very mental. So I think we just run with patience the race that is set before us. Resting in the Lord, relaxing, trusting God, and enjoying the course before us. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your kindness. Thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints that love you. May we continue to do the due diligence we need to on various projects we have in life. May we continue to meditate on your word and pray with great expectation. But at the same time, may we simply relax, rest in you, be patient, knowing that once we've done what we can do and we've turned it over to you and we've prayed, that you will come through for us in mighty and wonderful ways which we can't even imagine. So I thank you for this and pray that in the days and weeks ahead we'll continue to look to you and we'll continue to see your power manifested in our lives and continue to enjoy your great deliverance and salvation every day. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, amen.